What's been top of your pops this week? Any big stories taken your fancy? It matters not what we think. We're here to get a glimpse of the week that was from a different perspective. Today, the week as glimpsed by our week that was a Mr. Bob Catter. Bob, welcome.
G'day to all the listeners.
Now, it's been a big week in politics, and I've seen you in the House speaking passionately on the subject of imported workers in the mining industry in particular.
Well, I think I would have been thrown out, except the ALP members, or a lot of them, are so grossly embarrassed by the behaviour of their own government. I mean, it's the most extraordinary phenomenon I've ever seen. As you would be well aware, I've got a history book that's selling very well on all the news shelves throughout Australia.
You do indeed.
But I mean, you can read that. I mean, the history of the Labor Party, it was established because the dreadful conditions in the mines. There's a shearing story too, but it was mainly a mining story. And the second issue was bringing in workers from overseas, both in the cane industry and in the mining industry. And the first member for Kennedy was one of the nine most powerful men and founders, if you like, of the ALP in Australia, is the Speaker of the House here, Charlie McDonald. But Charlie, in all his speeches, spoke about foreign workers coming in and taking our jobs and undermining our pay. Now, what is happening now is with the expansion of the coal industry, it's doubling in Queensland into the what's called the Galilee Basin.
Yep.
And in Western Australia, a massive increase in the iron ore mining. So there's about 60 or 70,000 jobs coming down the line. And these are the plum jobs. These are the best jobs in this country. If you can drive a truck, you'll get paid somewhere between $100,000 and $175,000 a year. These are the cream of the crop jobs in this country. They will not be available for Australians. They will be given to foreigners.
Do we have Australian workers equipped to take all those jobs?
I mean, the people that are proposing this, the federal government and the LNP Premier in Queensland, Mr. Newman, the people proposing this have said we can't get workers. Now, they're saying this in Queensland. Mm-hmm. There are 299,000 people registered for full-time employment that cannot get a full-time job, and most of them can't get any job at all. I mean, 299,000, and you're telling me you can't get anyone to go out there and work there for a year or 2 years? I mean, you're insulting my... I mean, there's more hot air going in this one than had float 1,000 Hindenburgs, but I'm just going to shoot them down in flames because the greatest period of mining growth in Australian history was the creation of the iron ore industry in Western Australia under Charles Court, the creation of the coal industry of Australia under Bjocke Petersen. Both Charles Court and Bjocke Petersen banned fly-in mines completely.
Mm.
You couldn't fly in from Perth to Kununurra.
You had to live there.
You had to live there. You couldn't fly from Brisbane or Gladstone to Emerald. You had to live in Emerald. They announced three mines in Emerald. They're all going to be flying, and Bjocke Petersen announced that they wouldn't be. They announced four mines in Charters House. Bjocke Petersen announced that they wouldn't be. And we got 2,000 jobs out of that in Charters House. Now, we're sweating because we've lost the gold's run out in those mines, and we're sweating on those jobs in the Galilee Basin. Not only Charters Towers, but hundreds of towns in Queensland, we're sweating on those jobs. But they're not going to be there.
You're sort of hand in hand on this story with the likes of Doug Cameron from the Labor left. How does that feel?
Oh, look, Doug has been the most bitter disappointment. I mean, if you take a strong position and become the champion of a particular point of view, and you write brilliant speeches, which he did. I've kept some of his speeches. And then you come into this place, and you're a tame little pussycat stroking the back front bench and telling everybody how good the ALP is. When a decision like this is taken, you've got no credibility at all. But the damage to the ALP on this one, the damage here, is catastrophic. This is dying time for them. The last vestige of support that they have left has been pulled out from under them.
What do you think about the way in which this story has been covered? Has it been given a fair treatment?
I think it's been very, very biased and slanted in favour of Gina Rinehart and the big mining corporations. But look, I'm not at liberty. I don't carry around tape recorders in my pocket. But, you know, the big mining corporations speak to us. And in our discussions, They've said we've got to smash unionism. It's going to cripple this country. Well, there's not a single person in Australia that's ever said that to me. Only the big foreign mining corporations. In sharp contrast, the Australian owner-operator mines, and some of them are the biggest miners in this country, of course, God bless them, just the complete opposite. When we went in to see them, they said, Bob, we can make these towns places where people want to live. This is, they initiated discussions, not us. And that's what they said. And it's just a completely different mindset. But these big corporations, which are almost every one of them foreign-owned, Gina Rinehart just represents Indian money. Clive Palmer represents Chinese money. In fairness to Clive, he calls his company China First. I mean, these companies, they're marching to the drum of international corporations, and they will brook no unionism whatsoever. And they don't see why a person should be working somewhere else for $5,000 a year and why an Australian should be paid $175,000 a year.
This week we also see the 20th anniversary of the High Court's Mabo judgment. What sort of impact has that had, do you think, on your part of the world in northern Queensland?
I was a trenchant opponent of Mabo. I really was. You know, I crossed the floor five times on it. But, you know, I've had to start to move in the other direction because the only leverage we've had against the mining companies just walking all over the top of us, you know, I mean, you have a community like Doomadgee. They get a terrific football team. They won the competition for Northwest Queensland three or four times. They're good boys, you know. Good blokes, the managers there, the young blokes, are terrific blokes. They're not being given a fair go. There's no jobs allocated to Doomadgee. And the only jobs we have been able to get allocated to Doomadgee was via the native title leverage. So I've sort of changed my mind about it. But the hypocrisy of all of this is, I mean, the really heartbreaking part of this. 25% of Australia, if you look at a map, is supposedly owned by First Australians. But they own nothing. They cannot get a title deed to an acre of land. There is no such thing as a title deed for a First Australian on that 25% of the surface area of Australia. So they're supposed to own a quarter of this surface area of Australia, but they own nothing. They can't get a title deed. And all this hullabaloo about, oh, geez, we've got ownership of our own land. You own nothing. You can't get a title deed. And, I mean, give Mal Brough his due. He made a bit of an effort in the territory there, God bless him. But we did it in Queensland. But unfortunately, you know, 4 years later, it was a change of government and it was all reversed. Now, why you would take the right of a person to own his own home off him and not give it to him, I don't know. There just is no logic by which I could come to an conclusion. So very, very sad that we have to reflect upon the fact that Mabo and Father Passy and Saleh and all those people that fought that case are very men of towering dignity. Father Passy, Georgie Meyer just died. All these people and all of their work and fight and everything. We've got no benefit flowing from it whatsoever because we're the only race of people on earth that are not entitled to own our own home or our own block of land or our own farm. We're not allowed to do that.
Bob Catty, you've also chosen for us today's Sunday Extra interstitial tune. Tell us what you've picked and why this one stood up for you.
Which one was this? This was
Three Rivers Hotel.
Sorry. Well, I thought it was timely.
Close to your heart.
As a young bloke, one of these stanzas goes, when this job is done, then we'll pack up and go to another construction still chasing big dough. But wherever I wander, my memory will dwell of those happy days at Three Rivers Hotel.
Bob Catter, thank you very much. That's the song for our time.
It captures the moment.
From Townsville to Greenvale, we're building a line through the ranges and gorges to the great nickel mine. The long days are dusty and hotter than hell, and that's why we all worship Three Rivers Hotel. It's these brothers camp on the banks of the Star, where men from all nations and walks of life are. And it's funny to listen to the stories they tell every night round the bar in Three Rivers Hotel. We curse at the things that go wrong through the day and vow that we'll snatch it oh far away. But when day is done and we're soon feeling well, and laughter rings out from Three Rivers Hotel.